welcome to the second half of We the People Radio. My name is Aaron Ryan.
And my name is Bill Cundiff.
What do you have for us, Bill?
Well, we have a sponsor this hour. It's Pape Machinery, our local John Deere ag and turf dealer. They're located at 3119 Twin View Boulevard in the city of Shasta Lake. Go up and see them. Get yourself a new mower or a new John Deere tractor. They've got them all in stock and ready for delivery. And they do free delivery. So, yeah, go up and see them. Their phone number is 530-226-9226. Or you can get them on the web at PapeMachinery.com.
So if I was to buy a new mower and I was to mow a field that had a lot of rocks in it,
yeah,
and break it and stuff, is that warranty?
No, that would be technically.
How about wood? If I have wood stuck in there,
yeah,
and
wood,
I rip
yeah,
it all the
yeah, really back, no? Not John Deere's fault. You ran over a tree branch and jammed it all up, and that's not going to be a warranty issue. But
okay.
You know what? Just get your wallet out, pay it, fix it,
and you know what?
Go back to work.
If you think that mowing rocks is fun, you should go buy some rocks from Exner Excavating.
Yes, they can supply you with lots of rocks to mow. Yeah, they got a good inventory.
They're at 2900 Old Oregon Trail in Redding, California, and their phone number is 530-222-0539.
There you go.
And they're super nice.
Yeah.
Everybody knows Exner Excavating. They've been there forever. 44 and Old Oregon Trail.
Yeah, right there. Take the airport road exit and go north, and they're right there.
Shazam.
Bam.
There. Back to our regularly scheduled programming. All right, the goofing off part's over now.
Yeah.
Back to Denise Gary Pendle,
paying the bills.
Who is running for the U.S. Senate in 2024. She is running for the seat that, that Dianne Feinstein is... barely holding on to at the moment, and it's a race to the bottom between Mrs. Feinstein and John Fetterman at this point. And I guess maybe we could throw Joe Biden in there too. I mean, some of this is just incomprehensible. And you're not that old, just to point it out, Denise. You're going to get in there and be like the youth group.
Jeez. Well, I'm certainly going to be a fighter, that's for sure, because we've got to get this stuff straightened out.
And you're coherent. Yay. Yeah, vote for the coherent lady running for U.S. Senate.
May I say something to
you? Oh, please do.
Okay.
Save us from ourselves.
I am the only United States senatorial candidate running for Dianne Feinstein's seat and working to defeat Adam Schiff and Katie Porter that has had top secret clearances and literally worked on policy studies for our national security, both on the Republican side. There's nobody running against me on the Republican ticket and nobody running against me on the Democrat side that has that background. I am also the only candidate who filled out the Federal Election Commission paperwork, as did Dianne Feinstein. We both did back in 2021. And originally, you know, I was just running against her. And I have been running for 19 months. So I'm the only candidate that's really built, I would say, a groundswell of support from the voters of this state to win this election. Because everybody else just jumped in. Like within the last few weeks.
Oh, wow.
And we might see other. Yeah, that's true. So I just think to myself, Katie Porter just came in. Adam Schiff came in. Eric Early just came in. None of those people have been to all the counties and all the cities that I have visited talking about how we can fix California and save the country. And, you know, I think that that's critical. I mean,
part of the problem, like with the representation, especially, you know, our show airs on local radio here, but people listen all over the place. So, you know, we talk about Northern California, but I realize that people live elsewhere. But for those of you out there that don't really know California that well, I mean, I know you look at it on a map, it's a big place and all that, but, I mean, I don't think people realize how long it takes to drive like from one end to the other.
Yeah, you go to the East Coast, you can go through five states in about an hour and a half.
I lived in Connecticut. You'd be in Massachusetts in 20 minutes.
Yeah, you're 10 hours.
I spent almost 8 hours getting up to all of you and down there.
I feel for you. We had a guy who was going to come up and speak in a group a few years back. He was from L.A. He was a comedian, actually, but he was like a political comedian. So I was like, perfect. He was going to come up and speak, and he was going to speak at our he was on his way to Oregon, and he was going to speak at our group on a Monday night. And he said, yeah, that'll work out great because I have to be in Stockton on Tuesday.
Yeah,
like, wait a minute, you're going to go all the way to Redding and then you're going to go to Stockton? And he goes, well, you guys are just on the other side of Sacramento, right? I'm like, we're like 2.5 hours away. He goes, no. Well,
yeah, right.
He goes, no, but by then I'll be in Oregon. I'm like, no, that's another 2 hours. He'd lived in California his whole life in Southern California. And so
he had no idea.
Not a clue. And so the people, not just the distance, but the issues of the state are really, really vast. Really vast, because the issues that Southern California is dealing with, some are similar. I mean, obviously we're all dealing, everybody, you know, out there is dealing with homelessness and mostly water.
War on the drug cartels.
Yeah.
And stopping crime and restoring safety. All these really important
issues.
Yeah,
everybody has that. But when you look at how you get there and how you bring solutions to areas, and actually when you look at how you exacerbate those problems, it's different depending on where you are in the state. So,
one thing that's statewide that I'd like to mention before the show concludes is care for our veterans. I want people listening to know that here in the state of California, and you can check this out on the internet, so our veterans in this state pay 100% tax. In other words, their military pension is taxed 100%. There's only two states in the union. I'm not sure if this is correct. I think Vermont is the other state, but, you know, I'd have to look that up to double check it, but the fact that we have two states in the United States of America that would tax the pension of a man or woman that raised their hand to and were willing to fight and die for our safety and our freedoms, why are we taxing them?
Yeah.
And that's something else, you know, we haven't talked about, but when I become your United States Senator, I want to get legislation passed to end that. We shouldn't be taxing the military pensions of our veterans. And here in California, we've got over 1 million veterans. So why are we doing that? And since we're talking about military personnel, I also would like to add, I want to get legislation passed that's going to make it illegal or unlawful for military academies like West Point and others. There's so many others, and it's not just here in California, it's across the country. I mean, we have military academies nationwide that are talking about and indoctrinating our military personnel and their children to embrace critical race theory and gender dysphoria.
Yeah.
Why in
that
the
seems
world
somewhat ill-placed.
Yes. How are you going to build an army, a navy, a Marine Corps, an Air Force, a Space Force, the Coast Guard, National Guard? How are you going to do all that when you're teaching people to distrust one another based on their skin color?
Yeah.
So critically destructive to our armed forces of America and to the training that's going on in our military academy. So I want to make that unlawful. That just has to be mandated that our military institutions and the Department of Defense can no longer teach that and indoctrinate our people that are part of the Department of Defense and our military personnel and their children that go to school on these military bases. They're not going to be allowed to do that. And another thing, we need to withhold federal dollars. And I don't think I'll have a problem on this. We need to withhold federal dollars from any academic institution that's going to cause our precious children to be confused and have anxiety about their gender identity. I mean, we have young people that are committing suicide because they get so upset over this confusion they have about their gender. And they're committing suicide because they're worried about the climate issues. And I want to say this. You know, when I talk to climatologists, one of the things they always like, you know, point out to me, and they like to share this with me, is that this planet has got run in cycles. You know, we had, I wonder if people recall back in the 70s, I know some of us were children back then, but still, back in the 70s, well, from the 1940s through the 1970s, they were talking about an ice age.
And yeah, you can look, I remember that.
Up too.
Yep. Don't you? That, yeah, we're all going to freeze to death.
Yeah, we're going to freeze to death and everybody's going to die.
Mm-hmm.
And now, after the 70s, it was like, oh my goodness, the planet's warming and everybody's going to burn to death. We're just not going to, you know, so...
And we can't win.
They make clear is the Earth goes in cycles. And so we're always going to have this. I thought it was fascinating when they said atmospheric flooding. Oh, my goodness. I started looking that up on the Internet. And what I found was back in the 1600s when we had individuals start documenting, geologists documenting weather patterns in our state, you know, dating back to the 1600s, there was reports of massive flooding, you know, every so many years. That also is not unique to the 21st century, and it has nothing to do with, you know, what they call global warming. I think people need to do a little bit more research and understand that the Earth does go in cycles, and we're up for global cooling next. So
we're due for some global cooling.
You know, I listened to a program the other day, and they were talking about a photograph that was taken of the Statue of Liberty exactly 100 years ago from a boat, and they took another photograph just recently. And they thought it was pretty darn close to the same position on the water of the Statue of Liberty. And they could count the bricks that the statue sits on to calculate the level of the water. And, you know, it's funny. The oceans haven't really risen in the last 100 years. And you know, that I realize that's not the only proof, but it's interesting that you can look at two photographs 100 years apart and the water level is the same. So much of this is just hype, and it's flat not true.
It's based
true.
On money, you know. It,
yes.
Everything is, it just seems like it's driven by a money-making industry that looks to make a lot of money off this, and it's really sad because it's devastating to people's lives and budgets.
Absolutely.
You know, another thing they used to tell us 10 years ago, we were told, you know, the polar bears are all going to die, and the ice is all going to melt. Well, from what I understand, the polar bear population has tripled.
Yes.
there absolutely is no extinction. So I just find all these things interesting because, you know, you take them piece by piece, and it doesn't seem to be really an effective argument. No, by the way, aren't all these predictions about us running out of water and not having enough water based on the machinations of people that sit at computers and try to figure these things out based on computer models? I mean, I don't know what proof they really have. I really don't. Because, again, when you look at the history of the planet, apparently things that are happening now have happened, you know, hundreds and hundreds of years ago. And it's just not new.
No.
There's nothing new under the sun about it. So that's interesting.
Yeah, and we're not running out of water. That's another thing that I find interesting is when you look at the Earth as a whole, there's X amount of water in this biosphere that has never changed. It's always going to be the same amount of water. It may move around a little bit.
It'd be liquid, but it might be gas.
Yeah, but it doesn't. Water doesn't just disappear. I mean, it's still here. And for them to say, oh, we're running out of water. No, we're not really running out of water.
Well, it turns out the Wright brothers did a little song called Stop Global Whining. Oh. I believe we'll play it right now going into the break. How'd
okay,
that be?
Hey, I like that.
You're listening to We the People. You can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.
And one.
Seriously, dude.
There's a crisis on the planet. It's heated up almost a whole degree. It hasn't been this hot in a long time. Not since the 16th century, when there were no evil SUVs. Stop global whining. It's up to you. The Earth's been head out of the clouds.
This is Officer Joe with your marijuana message. Don't buy the corporate marijuana lies whose end game is to not pay any taxes. California has failed to control the grows. Dispensaries are selling out the back door as well as selling other illicit substances. Do we really need the damage to the environment, suicide, schizophrenia, hyperemesis, cardiac events in elderly users, drug driving crashes, genetic damage, pulmonary damage, neonatal low birth weight, and lost IQ for our youth? No, we don't. Remember, let's be careful out there.
Yeah, my party's all right, uh-huh. Now don't talk to me about the polar bear. Don't talk to me about the ozone layer. Ain't so much of anything these days, even the air. You're running out of rhinos, what do I care? Let's hear it for the dolphin. Let's hear it for the trees. Ain't running out of nothing in my deep freeze. It's casual entertainment. We aim to be. And my party's alright. Uh-huh. Do what you please.
Oh, I do love that one.
Yeah.
We're not running out of anything in our deep freeze. Hey, just to circle back on the military retirement, I guess in 2022, Vermont made an adjustment, and there is partial. There's a partial break on military retirement. They're kind of getting the hang of it.
In 2022.
Yeah, I just was okay. There were six states, actually. Six more. It says six more stopped taxing, but it's like they didn't stop. Like South Carolina, military retirement income is fully tax-free beginning in 2022. So some
right.
did.
There's only. Right. California.
Yeah, well, California's not on the list. Even a partial. They didn't even give them
right,
a break.
That's my point.
Yeah.
We taxed 100%.
Yep.
And that's a stain on California. I mean,
yeah.
That's a stain on her reputation.
Virginia, Utah, California. Vermont is still listed on this map, but Vermont made a change in 2022. So it's really there are some states that have formulas for the for the tax. But, I mean, just eyeballing this map, I'd say over 50% of the states in the country – military retirement is not taxed.
Oh. That's my point.
Yeah.
And how it embarrasses me that we're doing that here in California.
Yeah. No, I'm with you on that one. With Memorial Day right around the corner. Yeah. We should be dealing with that.
We were talking during the break, Denise. When you're elected, what committees would you like to be on in the House?
Or in the Senate.
She'd like to be in the Senate.
We're going to let her be in the House, too, because we like her. And, you know, she's from California and stuff. So she, anyway, sorry.
You know what? I think I appreciate that question. And let me, I'm going to bring that up on my computer because I want to give you an accurate answer.
Yeah, that's true. I don't really know the official names of them in the Senate, but yes, I mean you have a deep interest in national security, and energy independence.
Right. I'd like to be on the Armed Services Committee, certainly. I'd also like to be on the Agriculture, Nutrition, and Forestry Committee because we've got to fix the water issue, and I don't want any food shortages. So again, I think Ag, Nutrition, and Forestry is important. I think the Armed Services Committee is important. I'm looking. Hold on just a moment.
Yeah, the good part of that is that there are a lot of subcommittees under all of the headings. I don't know the rules in the Senate, actually. I don't know. I know in the House you can only be on two committees unless the Speaker gives you, I guess it's like a note from your dad, and allows you an extra committee. But I don't know what the restrictions are on subcommittee, and that's really where a lot of the work gets done. That's where all the, the grunt work is, for lack of a better.
There's agriculture, nutrition, forestry I'm interested in. There's energy and natural resources, foreign relations. I mean, having an advanced degree in foreign relations, Middle Eastern affairs, U.S. national security. I mean, that's really important to me. I also would be interested in homeland security and governmental affairs. The Senate Select Committee on Intelligence, all of those, the Veterans Affairs. I mean, that's too much, I know, but really important.
I don't know if you get to submit a list, these are my possible things, but you have knowledge and experience in those areas, and that would help a lot. I think that would help our state a lot.
Well, feel free to contact your U.S. senator, ladies and gentlemen. Well, I don't know. I doubt. Don't do that. Never mind. Call U.S. senators that are Republican and conservative. Ask them to endorse me. Ask them to support me. You know, a phone call to Ted Cruz's office or Marsha Blackburn or Tom Cotton or any number of those individuals, or Speaker McCarthy. I think it would be fabulous to start getting their support. And they'll know real quick what my background is. In fact, I'm working. I just sent you an email, Aaron and Bill, that has my biographical.
It's funny. I was just cutting and pasting that onto the website as we speak.
I need to get that on my website. And, but at any rate, I'm working on a letter to all of them so they will have that, and hoping to get appointments to speak to them and get their trust, earn their trust and get their support. So, those are.
And honestly, not to.
Intelligence is, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, and honestly, not to put too much emphasis on it, but I think I think oftentimes voters think, the money is the dirty part of politics, and if they ask for funding support, that's what they're all about. And I don't think people realize that you can't. Well, again, back to our end of the state, up here, we don't. Our local newspapers are all but defunct. If we still have a local paper, it's run by a corporate office somewhere far away, not particularly focusing on local issues. And a lot of our smaller places, their cable news comes out of, like at the northern end of the state, comes out of Medford, Oregon, on the eastern side, Modoc and Lassen counties, their news comes out of Reno in Nevada. So they're not even going to see, like, you would have to have ads on media in three states, really, California, Oregon, and Nevada, in order to reach all of your voters. That's not cheap.
Well, this is why I'm asking people to please get on my internet today.
Let it be your internet.
Today.
What the heck?
DeniseGaryCandle.com, and please make a contribution. Because it's very expensive to run in this state.
It is.
It's just so darn big.
Yep, and you know, most people, I guess, you know, I'm not sure how I would do that. I need to do a little homework. I'm not sure how many people actually meet, or if you were to ask people in general, how many people have met a candidate that they voted for?
Yeah.
I don't think it's very many. You know?
Well, and also, I think it's a mistake for a lot of these candidates. They don't consider the northern part of California as a huge voting block, and they don't show up here. And
that's terrible.
You know, they go to the, you know, the main population areas, the big cities, and campaign hard there. But there's a lot of people in Northern California, and a lot of them don't feel represented. And it's because even our elected officials, some of them don't come here.
I don't know when Dianne Feinstein was here. I've seen one of her aides once. I did see one of Barbara Boxer's aides in Crescent City once.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
I'm going to be up in Siskiyou. Let's see here.
I'm going to see you there. It's the second Thursday of June.
Yeah. That's right. That's on the 8th. I'll be in Siskiyou and for a luncheon, and then I'll be speaking at a dinner as well. And the day before, on the 7th, I'm meeting with a supervisor in Sacramento and going to be on a television show in Napa. I think it's the Doris Gentry Show. But, yeah, I'll be back in your area again and again and again, no doubt. As I said, I think it's important to meet as many voters as I possibly can in every city, because I don't want people in small towns and small communities. Like, for example, I was just at the Georgetown Divide. That's a small community in El Dorado County. I was there on Tuesday the 16th. And, you know, they pointed that out to me, what a small community they are. But those people deserve to be heard and to be able to meet their senatorial candidate or a senatorial candidate and ask me questions and hear my answers and my solutions. And, that deeply disturbs me that you're saying that candidates don't bother to.
Some do,
really,
you know, like it. Mark Moisher was here. I remember I was at a meeting up in Mount Shasta on a Wednesday night in the basement of a church. And all of a sudden I looked up, Mark Moisher was there. I thought, what the heck? I think it was when he was running for Secretary of State. Yeah, and he would have been amazing at that. But he was up here quite a bit.
I voted for him. I voted for him for Secretary of State.
He would have just been incredible. That he had so much knowledge in that particular area. He would have cleaned our voter rolls up, which is probably why that didn't happen. But it's just important to realize how far away. I mean, there are places up here in Northern California that don't have electricity, you know? So when they talk about how everyone has
Who doesn't have electricity in Northern California? What towns don't have electricity?
You go straight up to Yreka, hook a left, and go downriver a couple hours. And you have communities down there that have never had power. They live off-grid, 100% off-grid. There's a payphone. There's a payphone and a tiny post office. That's their infrastructure. It's called Salmon River is the name of the town, Forks of the Salmon.
Salmon River.
That's not how
they want to live, right? They do want.
Yeah, no, they're not being put upon or anything, but it's interesting because when people, you know, well, everyone has broadband, and so the water board, for instance, will put everything online. Everything's online. And it's like, hey, by the way, everybody doesn't have online access. They don't have cell access. They're down in a deep, deep canyon. There's no cell service that's ever going to reach them down there. So that's not, you don't adjust the entire world for that. But that is something.
It shows you the diversity of California,
that's what
though.
I mean, you could live in LA and.
Well, that's important. That's important to know that, and I appreciate you sharing
that. Yeah, there's a lot of difference. I mean, some of the places are, you know, their closest big town has 1,000 people. And we haven't cut down all of our trees, and we haven't burned them all up yet. We'd still like to have a timber industry if we could.
Absolutely. And again, I want to make sure there's logging on federal lands again in California. I do know that some of our ranchers really have a tough time accessing the internet on their ranches right here in, you know, where I live in the central part of the state. And that deeply disturbs me that they can't even do research or check out things. And, you know, they're ranchers and they should be able to look things up and get information off the internet. And they tell me that they can't. And that has to be addressed. I mean, we just absolutely have to have that fixed. Because everybody should be able to look things up for their own health and safety and know what's going on. So I just, again, thank you for bringing that to my attention. I knew it was happening here in Central California, but I didn't know up there in Siskiyou and
And then the eastern counties. I mean, some of these, you know, we have a lot of different weather in California. So you have that too. So while you'll be campaigning because our primary is the beginning of March, well, you have places in California, you know, that are really very difficult to get to, when we're having a lot of snow like this year. So, I don't know.
What about MODOK? Is MODOK up there next to Siskiyou or Del Norte County?
Del Norte?
All of them?
Yeah, Del Norte County doesn't really have the weather difficulty because they're on the coast, so you would access them through Highway 101, like up and down. But MODOK County in the northeastern corner.
Side.
I mean, okay, so I know a guy who ran for county supervisor. He won, and he got 126 votes. Not 126.
Oh my!
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So you're not
That's
looking. You're not looking at always major metropolitan areas. When people picture our state, they think of beaches. Everybody lives on the beach, and everybody lives by a big city, you know, of some sort. And it's like, well, that's actually not the bulk of our state, and so reaching all those folks is time-consuming.
Absolutely. You can win an election by getting 126 more votes than your opponent.
Isn't that funny?
Yes.
He didn't win by 126. That was his total vote count.
I think that's interesting.
Yeah, so you look at that and you go, well, it's worth running, and I really do what we've seen in this state and others too. You know, once you get somebody in there, it's really hard to make a replacement, but I know it's sort of taboo to talk about the opposition, but I am kind of excited that Adam Schiff is getting so much bad, just bad airtime and everything and bad news in the House for him. I mean, they're talking about, expulsion based on the Durham report and all the lying that he did regarding the Russia thing and saying he had evidence and witnesses and blah, 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 which he obviously didn't. He's kind of getting himself into hot water.
Aaron. He's still saying that, Aaron. He came out.
Isn't that amazing?
I believe it was just, after the Durham report and still said the same thing as if the Durham report was a lie. And of course, he has it all right after, you know.
Yeah.
I thought that was incredible. And, you know, Katie Porter, I think she's, I'm concerned about her bullying voters. I mean, some of the awful things she said about voters and the people of California, and just a lot of things that she has said indicates to me that she. I don't know why she's even in office. She doesn't seem to.
No, I know there's something going on there.
I don't know what that would be, but anyway, there's I'm concerned about that, and I really think and know, based on my knowledge of the people running, I really want to assure the people of this state I will put service over self. I really want to fix the state, and I want to secure the nation. I hope that people will get behind me. You mentioned the primary, March 5th.
Yeah, see, well, and everybody gets all swept up in, they get swept up in Christmas and all that, and then suddenly we've burned through January, and then bam, you're in it.
Because February, those ballots will drop because there's ballot harvesting in our state.
We have to take a really quick break, but when we come back, we need to talk about that, because that is something that, anybody who saw the 2,000 mules thing and all that, but I'm not sure that people realize that we do sort of have to, we're going to have to use that this time around, or use it or be crushed.
Absolutely.
Or be crushed by it.
We're going to have to get started in November.
Exactly. So I thought I would dedicate the songs on this break to Adam Schiff. Just because, gosh, there's so many good songs about lying. So you're listening to We the People. We're speaking with Denise Gary Pandel, who will be running for the Senate seat that Dianne Feinstein holds against Adam Schiff. Be right back.
Oh, no, no, you can't disguise.
This is Officer Joe with your marijuana safety message. Is your marijuana killing you? A testing of 1,000 NorCal dispensary samples found the majority had toxic mold or substances harmful to humans. As a bud tender, recommended THC products for treatment of medical conditions while you get sicker or exacerbate mental health issues. Get professional medical help and sue the dispensaries for the product and advice liability. Marijuana is not medicine for most Americans, and there's no medicine that is smoked. Remember, let's be careful out there.
Little White Lies been around for years. Little White Lies ringing in your ears. You turn around, come around back on you. Well, that little white lie's catching up to you.
The problem is Adam's lies aren't little, but, it's the best I could do. Best I could do on short notice.
It's good. Good job, Aaron.
Sammy Hagar, he kind of undersold it, but, he is Sammy Hagar, so I guess we'll leave him be. So the whole thing with the mail-out ballots, it doesn't look like they're going to stop doing that anytime soon. No. So everyone is going to get one. If the voter rolls are off, they're still going to get one. They'll have to be caught at the clerk's office. But the ballot harvesting idea that you can take somebody else, you could gather up all the ballots in your neighborhood. You don't have to necessarily, I think ballot harvesting has become synonymous with cheating. But it doesn't have to be.
There's a way to do it legally. It doesn't have to be cheating at all. Yeah, and we need people in every city and town in California to go to those large apartment complexes where a lot of times you have a single parent working night and day. A lot of times they have children, and they could use some help. We can help them. There are people in hospitals who could use some help. We could help them. There are people in assisted living facilities that need help. We need to have people that will start developing a presence and relationships so that they can go to areas and help people that need help, get that ballot filled out, and you can sign your name to it, and it's all very legal in our state.
And even if it's just, providing a, I'm figuring, I don't know. A lot of people who are conservative voters would be pressed. I mean, you could put it in the mail, for heaven's sakes. It's not like it's just that hard. But a lot of people will wait. Going to the polls is being pushed as the only legit way to vote. But sometimes things happen, you know, on the day of the election, and people get jammed up. Make it possible for your neighbors, friends, family. I mean, hold an event, have a barbecue, do something, and have people bring
their vote out.
Yeah, bring their ballots, and even if you have three of you, take them to the clerk's office the next day, so that it's, you know, I mean, make sure they're sealed and signed, and make sure they're signed. That's the other thing.
Everybody is saying, you know, including people in Washington on the Republican side, they're all saying vote early, get your ballot in.
Yeah.
They're also saying if you're here in California, you actually want to win an election, get busy doing ballot harvesting. They're also, and one of the things that I'm saying is when I did research on how I can win this thing is I need to get in churches and synagogues. In fact, it was fabulous. I was at the Central California Freedom Fest last night. Well, yesterday afternoon, I arrived and started networking, and you know, I heard that one of the individuals there that I spoke to and met with, he now wants to get me in synagogues here in California. So that's good. We've got to get people in our churches and our synagogues registered to vote.
Yep.
But the problem is mostly, though, in our churches, that I'm sorry to say. Our churches, I believe Jack Hiff, I hope that's correct. He has a large church, and I understand he started doing voter registration. I believe it was last year or the year before. It's my understanding, and correct me if I'm wrong, if you want to look this up on the Internet, but I understood from somebody that they got 100,000 folks registered, and he's a, you know, a pastor, and he has, I believe, a podcast, or it could be a radio show, I'm not sure which, got lots of people registered to vote, and they're going to vote Republican because they want somebody that's going to support their Judeo-Christian values. You know, they want somebody that's going to be in the, for example, someone like myself that in the United States Senate that's going to work on school reform so everybody has school choice and they can afford to put their child where they want to put their child and their child doesn't have to go into a government-run school where they're going to be indoctrinated to embrace critical race theory and gender dysphoria.
Yeah.
So, you know, this is a big deal to a lot of people and...
Well, unfortunately, with all of the things that have been going on with the voting, it has somehow translated into it doesn't matter. Your vote doesn't count. It doesn't matter.
But of course it does.
The crazy part of that is if it doesn't matter and you don't vote, and because you're worried about cheating, hot tip, they don't have to cheat anymore. Like you just gave it
to
them.
You just handed it to them.
You handed it to them. And the other thing, too, is with those mail-out ballots, there was a lot of confusion in 2020. People really, President Trump kind of told people not to trust them. But, again, bad translation. That
very bad.
Yeah,
you don't vote, you can't win.
Then, well, people thought, I'm going to take that mail-out ballot and shred it, you know, so it doesn't get counted double. But the bad part was they went to the polls. And then they wound up having to be on a provisional ballot because there was no way to verify they hadn't voted twice because they shredded their mail-out ballot. Please don't shred the mail-out ballot. If you want to go to the polls, take it with you. You have to take it with you.
You have to take it with you. But you could just vote early and get the darn thing.
You could. And you know, here's an incentive for people who think, well, I don't want to vote early. Well, would you like to get off the robocalls? Would you like to stop getting all the mailers? All of that will stop.
Once you vote. Yeah.
Because candidates that are smart, that are having to spend tons of money, won't have to mail you things because you'll pop up as having already canceled your ballot. Doesn't show how you voted. It just shows that you did. So you're no longer a vote that's in play. You'll save your good candidates a ton of money by doing that.
That's interesting. I didn't know that, Aaron. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, you'll have somebody else do the mailing. I'm assuming you're not doing that yourself.
No, I'm not going to do that myself.
No, but they do.
They know that. If they're
smart and they're using your money, you know, the money you've raised wisely, they pull current lists, and so they know which ballots have already been returned, and they don't mail stuff to those folks anymore. It's really funny. It's like you turn it in, and then bloop, you're...
Well, it's the same thing with
you're no longer a player.
With the people that are going door to door.
That's true.
Those lists are generated with possible voters.
These are people who haven't turned in their ballots. Go to the, because we've walked. You know, when you walk precincts, they tell you, hey, go knock on these doors.
Yep, these people haven't voted yet. So.
Okay. Well, good to know. I didn't realize that's actually a money-saving issue. Once people have voted, they're no longer in play, and so
People say they're I'm so annoyed. They're always calling me, and they're doing all that stuff. I'm like, oh, you know what? Then
go vote.
Two seconds after you get your ballot in the mail, like fill it out. But the other thing with that, people are, you know. So I'm always like, I'm Mrs. Two Sides, right? I was like in Fiddler on the Roof in my first life. On the one hand, but then on the other hand, the other thing is that people want to wait because every now and then you learn things later and, oh, I should have waited. But I think this election, we can do our homework ahead of time. And in California, we're always bombarded with all these stupid propositions.
And we need to pay attention to the judges. That's another one that people...
All that stuff.
That all counts big time.
Yeah.
We've got to, you know, we have to begin... early, you know, educating. And if you're part of a group at all, you know, conservatives in your, you know, your community, your central committees, your Republican women, your even your service groups, Kiwanis, Rotary, that kind of stuff. Work hard to get information out, even if it doesn't say vote this way or that way, especially on like states that have ballot propositions. You can at least let people know what voting yes means and what voting no means, because sometimes people go through and vote all no, and then no means yes, and you know, boo.
Right. It's a shame they have to write them that way, where you don't know. It's hard enough to understand them, but then they write them in a way that
yes means no and no means yes.
Yes.
Well, I getting back to ballot harvesting, I wanted to say, I'm not sure what to respond back with. I had somebody, I told you I was also in Riverside. I was in Riverside on Friday. And I mentioned at the end of speaking, and it was question and answer time, and somebody asked me, well, what's your position on voting? And I said, one-day voting, paper ballots, voter identification. And I mean voter identification.
Right.
And, but I said, we've got to do ballot harvesting this go around. And boy, this was a Republican assembly group. And this one woman said, absolutely not. We cannot do that. I said, ma'am, it's legal in our state. Yes, but we can't do it. Guess what? We just got rid of the machines in our area. I said, that's fabulous.
Great. But you should still...
Fabulous. Yeah. That doesn't mean you don't do ballot harvesting because you got rid of the machines. That's a wonderful first step. Let's go a second step. Let's win the election.
Yeah, while we're busy educating everybody on everything under the sun, like we've got to take care of business. Denise, we have run out of time.
Okay.
The news is going to get us. So thank you so much. This has been an interview with Denise, D-E-N-I-C-E, Gary Pandel, and her information is on our website. She's running for the U.S. Senate in the state of California. And we think she's great. Thanks, Denise.
Thanks, Denise.
You are an all-star. Hey now, you're a rock star. Get the show on, get paid.